At this time of the year, it seems like we want to think about good, positive thoughts. We want to think more about being nice than naughty. We want to think about, you know, how we show our brotherly love. And yet, I think for many people, the real stuff is, what's got my heart down? Why is life so hard? Why am I in despair? Why do I feel like screaming at the top of my lungs some days? Why do I have rage? Why do I want to quit? I look into people's eyes as I'm out in the public and sometimes even here at the congregation, and I don't see bright smiles all the time. I see people in pain, brokenness, sometimes physically, and sometimes it just seems like something's broken inside, but it's not for me to see what it is. But you just get a sense. And then on a night like this, some crazy idiot stands up in front and says, "Joy to the world!" And if you watch the evening news, which I didn't because I was here, but, you know, you probably didn't get too much joy out of that. So how on earth for us, other than just simply saying Christ is born, how is it you and I to have joy? How does God stir that up within us in the sense of the reality around us? The question is not new. How is God going to do this was somewhat like the question in the days of the prophet Isaiah when things weren't great then. The leadership really stunk. They had turned to idolatry. They had turned to greed. They had turned to self-pleasure. There was hardly a righteous man in the leadership position. Even in the synagogues, even what was being taught, it was more along the lines of do unto others before they do it unto you. It was rough. Isaiah the prophet is frustrated. King Ahaz is as wicked as they come. And there he is. He's saying, "I'm not asking God for a sign." Mm-mm. And yet, the prophet tells him there is a sign. That a virgin will conceive. And that this child will be a different kind of king. And then we hear about shepherds out in the field, and this is about 700 years later after Isaiah, and you hear about these shepherds, and they got these angels floating around in the sky. Y'all seen angels, right? Floating around in the sky. You know, we know in the Bible that they get scared. You know, can you imagine seeing angels floating around in the sky and they're going, "Have joy," and you're going, "I don't know what to do. I don't know whether to run, scream, duck for cover, or what." Because it's just not an everyday event. And the angels tell them, "Joy." There's this message of great joy. For unto you this day, born in this, you know, the city of David, Bethlehem, is this Christ the Lord. Now, with that message of the angels, Rome was still in power. The Roman soldiers were still in their neighborhood. The guards were still pushing people around. The tax collectors were taking more than they should have. The thumb was on the scale at the fruit market, you know, getting, it was costing you more and you were getting less. And the angels say something insane like joy. And the question is, how can this be? How can it be when there's so much injustice, so much violence, so much poverty, so much sickness, so much hurting people? How on earth can there be joy? And the key is, joy is now on earth. For God's Son was born. Emmanuel, God with us. Joy was present in the babe of the manger. His very presence established joy. It was the fulfillment of prophecy that God was keeping His promise, but it was also a bringing of a new reality that mankind had never seen before in a greater way than they had seen before. For this child is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This child is pure and holy. This child has the power of God because He is God. And the people got a message of joy because this child could actually accomplish joy. He could really establish joy. You know how people kind of say real nice things? Good luck. You know, somebody says good luck, are you actually going to get luck? You know, maybe not. 50-50 chance, what do you think? I'm going to have surgery this week. Well, good luck. You know, they have no control over that. But when God in this babe of the manger, God in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us, when He came, He was bringing joy. And it wasn't about kicking out the Romans, and it wasn't about getting people's thumb off the scale, and it wasn't about making cheaters now truthful. It was about reconciling us and God. Because at the root of all of our sorrow, at the core of all of our illness, the baseline for all of our problems is sin. Not just other people's sin. I remember blaming my brothers and sisters for everything. How about you? Yeah, you know, they started it. Yeah, I was usually lying, but I still blame them. But my sin, your sin. It's our silliness of our thinking. It's our ignorance of Scripture. It's our doubting God and His Word, that we don't hold on to His promises. The reason that so often we don't have joy is we have taken our eyes off the cross, the empty tomb, and the hope of the second coming. We have turned to something else for our joy. And if you're a football fan, it isn't the Titans this year. You know. And if you're a basketball fan or a hockey fan, just pick any team that's not winning, and you know they can't be your joy. But the problem is, if you pick a winning team this year, there's no guarantee for next year, is there? It's amazing how many things we look for joy in. How many of you bought something, okay, technology-wise, right? And it failed on you. Right? You know? Most of the time, the person that you call at the call center, they're blaming you. Well, you didn't do it right. You know? When we look for something to make us look cooler, when we look for stuff to give us meaning in life, when we look for stuff to make us happy, it's so temporary. It just doesn't last. But this gift of God lasts. That's why He is joy. He's not the gift like the world gives. He's an eternal gift. He is perfect. And this gift is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and in His ruling, He rules mightily with power and authority, with love and grace and mercy, and He discerns perfectly. He's not like an umpire at a baseball game when he calls it a strike and it should have been a ball. You know, He's not like the referee at a football game, you know, when he signaled touchdown and the guy kind of dropped the ball. And we've seen it all in the highlights, right? You know, He's not like the teacher in school marked it wrong and it was really right. He discerns perfectly. And what He brings us is not like what the world offers you. But He brings us something that's everlasting. How many times have we heard with earthly products, this is going to be the last, and you name it, that you'll ever buy, right? This is going to be the best, that you will never need to replace this. How many things have you replaced that you never needed to replace? See, there is no other Savior from sin. There is no other person that has defeated the devil. And there is no other sacrifice that has risen from the dead to overcome death itself. And there is no other name under heaven by which we are saved. He is our joy. And in the reading in the epistle from Titus, we heard about, well, we got these ungodly passions and wicked desires. When we start getting distracted into the things and the cravings of the world, no wonder our joy level goes down. But instead, by the grace of God, not by what we do, but by what the Son has done and accomplished for us, there is no doubt that for all who have been given this wonderful gift of faith, who believe in Him, who believe that He has died for their sins, and who believes He has risen from the dead, and who believes He will come again to judge the living and the dead, for all who believe in Him, there is this eternal joy that does not have to waver. It does not have to fade. It does not wear out. It does not crumble. It does not fail. Christmas has gotten so distracting for us because we've started to put our joys in other things. What do you want for Christmas? And we make these lists, right? And we give them to our friends. I mean, we make 50 copies and pass them out. You know. And when we don't get everything on our list, you know, bummer. But it's amazing. God has given all that we need, and He made the list, and He really knows. He knows what's most important. He knows what will work. And so this babe in Bethlehem, as the angels say, is the message of joy to you. If you've grumbled this month, let it go. And if you believe in Jesus, hold on, that you may have joy in God with us, in Emmanuel. Amen.